Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Well, hello, everybody. My name is Stephen Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. We're a little surprised there. We didn't realize we were live, but we're happy to be here. And in a moment, Loren Rivera will arrive to discuss energetic connections with Dr. Nonna Marie Foyer. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Good evening, Loren. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I hope if anyone heard me ranting, I apologize. I didn't know we were live.
It's fine. We're all human. I rant regularly. Well, Loren, would you like to tell us a little about your work at Psychic Access?
Yes, thank you. I am a psychic medium, an empath psychic medium, so I feel people's energies, feelings, and I see spirits. When I communicate with people, I am doing literally channeling spirit or their higher self and communicating what I'm feeling, seeing, and hearing. And also, I do angel readings when people want those, and that is through angel oracle cards and then using tarot on top.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lauren. We're excited to have you with us, and I'm sure you'll enjoy this interview a lot. Dr. Nonna Marie Foyer, how are you this evening?
I'm doing just fabulous. Thank you for asking. Happy to be out in sunny, fairly warm California.
Oh, it sounds nice. You have to send some of that sunshine my way.
Exactly.
Dr. Nonna Marie, could you tell us a little about your work at Psychic Access?
I work with some of the greatest psychics I've ever met. I have to say that first because I love working with all of you guys, and it's a great company. And I do predictive readings. I also contact people on the other side. I do pet readings as well. You use numerology if there's time to look into that on the phone calls. And I like to look at people's life path to see why they're here on Earth and understand why things are happening in the context of why they're here on Earth.
Wonderful. Thank you. We're glad to have you with us as always. I've heard you conducting your mediumship. I was extremely impressed. Really exciting. Well, we're going to get started with the show. I'm going to hand over to you, Dr. Nonna Marie, to introduce your guest or tell us a little about your guest, Loren, before she joins us.
I will. This is Loren Rivera, and she is a yoga master, yoga teacher. What I specifically love about her is that she actually lives the lifestyle of a yogi. She's up at 5 o'clock in the morning doing her prayers and meditation. She does her practice. She eats the way a person who is a yogi eats. So in other words, there's no contradiction in who she is and what her work is. And recently was certified in air yoga, which looks amazing, which is putting up these structures and hanging from, it looks like giant scarves or kind of hammocks that allow the body to get into positions while hanging in the air and allowing then the bones and the muscles to settle into different postures. And she understands about energy and yoga. She doesn't approach yoga just from the perspective of it's an exercise. It's actually a lifestyle. It's a philosophy. And it is a source of cultivating energy. And Loren, are you here?
And thank you for that beautiful introduction.
Yay, I'm so glad.
Yay, it's nice to be with you guys. Namaste.
Oh, namaste to you. So tell us first how you got into yoga, especially since you are such a practitioner and you're not just somebody who does this as a hobby on the side. Can you explain how that journey happened for you?
Sure. It's definitely been step by step. I mean, I enrolled into a yoga class at a junior college when I was 17, just because I didn't want to get sweaty at school. So I've never been competitive or very physical, but immediately it was just a matter of finding the right teacher, and I absolutely fell in love and understood the physical part of the yogic practice. So it started on the physical level for me. That was almost 14 years ago, and because it is so infinite, I just keep going a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper, and experiencing the beauty of life when you're really able to connect with yourself and with your source. So it started at a junior college, and then that was at RCC. Then went into Iyengar yoga at UCR, and more recently studying Kundalini yoga, which is where the energy practice and the spiritual practices are coming into play for me.
And can you explain then for our listeners what that means, Kundalini yoga, and what does that do in terms of activating energies in the body? And you've mentioned about the 10 bodies and also, I believe, 8 limbs. So maybe you can explain what Kundalini is.
Yeah, absolutely. Kundalini yoga is the yoga of awareness. So what gets accomplished in one Kundalini class on an energetic level and on a spiritual level is what can take years of practice in a Hatha class to complete. So no practice, no yoga practice is better than the other. They're all good. But depending on what you need at your stage in life, because we're all evolving and learning, Kundalini yoga kind of, it goes a little bit deeper. It can be explained like a big broom, and you lift up the mat of your emotions and you sweep the dust out. And of course that gets in your eyes and you might cry during a class or things open up for you. But, it's really about working with the pranic body, which is one of the 10 bodies, so our breath, and the chakra system, coming into a balance into all of these layers of our life that affect things like your relationships and your career and, your overall happiness. So Kundalini yoga is kind of governed by 3HO, and they're the Organization for Happy, Healthy, Holy. It's a program that Yogi Bhajan put into place in around 1969. So he came to the States from India because he saw a need of people seeking the truth. And Kundalini yoga is a royal yoga, so it used to be just passed down between the master and a student, a guru teacher relationship, where they would have to work and clean temples, and it was very, very secretive. But Yogi Bhajan made it open to all of us, so that now it's a yoga for householders. So anybody can practice and use these specific technologies of just making their life much brighter. So in Kundalini yoga, we do kriyas, which is like a certain exercise for a certain amount of time to do things like open your heart or balance your sacral chakra and things like that for this purpose of this message, for a better sex life or for a deeper connection. So, yeah, I've been really fortunate to study with some great, great masters. I offer Kundalini at my studio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, and we do practice sadhana. So thank you for mentioning that. To be a teacher of integrity, we have to maintain our own practice, and we do that bright and early in the morning. It's called the Amrit Vela. It's between 3 and 6 a.m., so it's a spiritual practice to kind of clear your head and get centered before the world is awake, and that way you can go on to your day with some clarity and some strength and be more productive in all areas of your life.
I love
in
that.
In a nutshell.
I love that practice. Just very impressed with that. So from what I understand, Kundalini yoga, the little exposure I've had, Hatha yoga is more postures, but Kundalini, I believe, isn't there like more breathing and more raising of the energy? It can be a little bit I want to say intense in some ways. Is that
it can be? Yeah. Yeah, that's a good description. Hatha yoga is definitely about the asana, so the physical, just and breathing, but it's more physical. And the eight limbs of yoga, the asana is only step three. So before asana, there is a whole other list of steps to follow with the yamas and the niyamas, which include like nonviolence. So yogis, you know, they don't take anybody's life, including animals, or cleanliness. When you're being intimate with someone, you're going to clean your bed and clean your body. So these are just little steps even before you get into a hatha or a physical yoga practice.
Mm-hmm. So what does happen with our energy when we are sexually intimate with someone? How did you discover that information, and what does Kundalini Yoga teach us about that?
Okay, those are two very deep questions. I guess how I discovered it, I'll start with that, was that I've always been, even as a child, I've always physically felt sexual. So part of being a yogi is being non-moralistic. So we don't say one person's sexual orientation is wrong, or if I feel a certain way sexually, then, you know, then I'm not a good person. So first of all, I had to come to accept, like we all need to come to accept, that God made us perfectly. Regardless of how I feel sexually, if God wanted me to be any different, then I certainly would be that way. So it started at a very young age of just being aware of my own sexuality. And then from there, I got married quite young when I was 18, and I left my ex-husband when I was 29. And I walked away from a relationship that sexually it was not safe to say what I liked or what I didn't like. And it certainly wasn't loving or healthy towards the end. So by the time I left and had found a new partner, I was very able to disconnect from my body. It's, I guess, another thing you learn in yoga. And it got to the point of where when I would be with a man, it would be as if he wasn't even there. And this was a more... these things happen. It's part of the experience. I'm sorry.
Oh,
okay.
Keep
so
going.
Then he was more conscious, and he Oh, can you hear me, Marie?
Nope, we're losing you here. You're fading out.
Oh, here I am.
Oops, we lost your
better?
Audio.
Oh, Marie.
There you are. Okay. Are you back?
Am I with you now?
Yeah, now I can hear you. Okay.
Okay.
So you're talking about by the end of the marriage that you would be with another man after the marriage is over, and you would just kind of check out or not be able to connect with them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's actually not a good thing to do. The whole point of even of yoga means a yoke. So it's that union. And so to check out like that, I was, even if it felt okay, there was a lot that I was missing out on. And the man that I was with was more conscious. And so he really helped me out by taking me to classes to develop my intimacy skills. And I didn't know it at the time, but they were tantric classes. So red tantric is sexual. And now that healing has taken place for me, I only do white tantric, which is done under like the strict guidelines of the Yogi Bhajan's teachers, and it's done in a group. But I had to go through these experiences where I worked through becoming free from all of that. So in a tantric class, a sexual tantric class, people are sitting in the nude and you're staring at each other's eyes and you're talking about what's healthy or unhealthy. And I went through all of that. Are you still with me, Marie?
I am. Yes.
Oh, okay, good. Just checking. Mm-hmm. And from there, that led me to eventually meet my guru, Achari Sri, and he taught me about cleansing my body. And I realized after I had gone through the process of dropping alcohol and dropping meat, that I had been having sex very unconsciously. So So those things led me into the teachings of Yogi Bhajan and Kundalini Yoga. And that's when I realized we don't only have one body. We actually have 10 bodies. And I mentioned the pranic body, that's the breath. There's three states of mind. They're the negative, positive, and neutral. And our aura and our arc line, which are for the purpose of the talk show, those are the ones that affect our sexuality. So I kind of had to clean up a lot of clutter and to learn how to feel and how to connect. And that's what yoga does for you, is it opens your heart, it opens your throat chakra, so that you are able to say what you like or don't like when you're being with someone. And if you're not comfortable with that, then that's a good place to start for healing, because it's not the other person's fault or doing anything that you're not able to communicate what you need. Mm-hmm. So energetically, let me just backpedal a bit and talk to you about our auras, which we all have. And for a healthy person, a radiant aura goes about 6 to 9 feet around your physical body. Mm-hmm. And when you have taken on some, for women, the imprint of the man stays in their aura. So if you are experiencing your sexuality and having many partners, and again, there's no judgment on that, because in yoga, we're all one. But this is, we're talking about energy. So the man's imprint of his aura stays with hers, and it can shrink your aura to about 3 feet if he's not cleaning himself energetically and spiritually. So part of being a yogi, we can all have good sex, but mm-hmm. we need to do things that take us closer to the infinite and to our divine self. And a great way to do that is by having a committed partner that you do feel safe with and that you are able to merge together with. So back to our auras. Because women have that Adi Shakti energy of being able to create life, whether we become parents or not, as women, we have that ability, and it can be in the form of creating an idea or of nurturing somebody that's in our life. But we are taking in the energy of the person that we're being with. Whether it's a man or a woman, we're receiving. So that imprint stays with us for 7 to 10 years, it can be even more than 10 years. And the reason it stays with us is because the first purpose of having sex is to procreate. So when a woman is carrying a man's baby and he's not there, the energy of the man still needs to be with the baby. And even after the baby is born, the energy of the man still needs to stay with the mom and the child, whether he's there or not. So we physically take on that energy and carry it with us. So we need to be very, as a general rule of thumb, you can say don't have sex with somebody that you don't want to be, because it can be years down the road and you don't talk to this guy anymore after that one night. But if he's having a bad day, suddenly you can feel a little less secure, or you can just feel, and maybe you didn't know it before because this was news to me too, but you just might not feel like your own self some days. But when you're really, and there's meditations and there's things that you can do to clear off energies, but you really, when you're sexually conscious, you want to have the intention of uplifting each other, because that's what yoga is. It's about being healthy and having that, that uplifting experience. So it can either add to your light or it can take away from your light. It's definitely going to do one or the other, because it's energy, and energy always has a reaction. So my guru, Achari Sri, he put it to me pretty clearly when I went to him for help with these things. And he let me know, you just don't have sex with somebody that you don't love. This isn't like the era of brahmacharis where everybody's practicing chastity. This is about connecting with people. And if you don't love somebody, then you really shouldn't have sex with them, because maybe they really love you. And just to kind of hump away and get off is selfish. We're raising the levels of integrity here. So that's kind of one of the things that happens when people merge together, whether there's orgasm, whether there's condoms being used. When you're in your physical space like that, your auras are merging. Mm-hmm. And in a woman's case, women, biologically, because we are creating life, we're actually 16 times more powerful spiritually there and intuitively and emotionally than men, because we have the responsibility of taking care of that child. So there's the aura that we all have, and then around the aura, another one of the 10 bodies is the arc line. And women have 2, and men have 1. So it's kind of like a halo of the aura. And for men and women, it's above the crown chakra. And then for women, it's between the 2 breasts. So energetically, a woman takes on a man. But men need to be responsible as well, because if they are being intimate with a woman whose aura and arc line are not as bright, then they too can take on that energy. And when a woman's aura is bright, a man feels well received, and he feels loved, and he feels cared for, and he's actually energized after sex. But if the woman's aura is not as bright, then he can feel really drained. And Yogi Bhajan even says that this can go as far as affecting his career. So when you're merging with someone in that way, you just want to make sure that you both have good intentions for each other. And a man needs to be with someone that he can trust, and someone that will tell him, you know, I was with somebody else if that happens. And then he can just wait a little bit for the energy to all shift and, you know, kind of take it from there. So there's a lot of things that are affected by sex, and we kind of just go through it, and it's pushed in our face, and it's taken very lightly, and it can actually be a really spiritually uplifting thing, or it can kind of trickle down into other areas of life. So
I love these descriptions. This is great.
I know.
Yeah. So, and it's very clear that this is not about morality or anything like that. It's really about quality of life, quality of experience, and honoring, like, it seems like yoga does this in general, that yoga teaches people to honor everything that we do, how we breathe, how we sit. Do you find that's true?
Yeah, I find that's true, and that's one of the reasons some of the things that I love most about it. So, like the art of lovemaking in yoga, it's not like wham, bam, thank you, man. It takes days of courting. Because another thing we need to recognize about women and men is the different polarities. Again, regardless of what or who you're attracted to, physically and emotionally, men are very different than women. And when we respect that, those parts of each other can be quite beautiful. So women need more, it's recommended 3 days of building up to being together. And there's nothing wrong with fast sex or anything like that, but ideally you want to be well rested and be able to have sex for a long time. So yogic sexual teachings will say, you know, eat certain things to feel better, to be more attractive. Yogis, I feel they have better sex because they avoid white sugar and alcohol and nicotine. And physically, those things are something that's affecting men a lot these days. You know, many men are taking drugs in order to be able to perform sexually. And it's kind of happening. Yogi Bhajan says that a man really isn't physically capable and ready to be sexually intimate until he's 23 to 25. But of course, things happen much sooner these days. We're on the fast track. So a healthy diet can prolong things like that and avoid him having to take any prescriptions. And emotionally, a woman needs more time she needs to be relaxed in order to be able to climax. Because women, back to the polarities and respecting them, women are on a 6-track way of thinking. So they think in ideas. and men physically, and they're on a one-track way of thinking. They think in solutions. Even though physically their sperm may make all these zigzags, the sperm knows exactly where it's going, and it has that single pointed focus, and that's how men are. But women, another part of sexual energy when you're being with your partner is to make sure that you both are fulfilled. So whoever, you know, sexual orientation, a woman generally in yogic tradition, this is taught in Yogi Bhajan's teachings, she needs to climax before the man because of that six-pointed mind. She may get close, and then if he switches the attention to him, she may think of something, and it will be harder for her to come back to orgasm. And when you're being with somebody, you both need to have that completion. Excuse me. Otherwise, the energy is left open-ended, and it's not balanced. Mm-hmm. So time to court her and to send her texts during the day or hug her when you guys are passing, and then to really take time to make sure all of that happens is better sex for a yogi. Mm-hmm. And yoga, of course, makes you more flexible, and it opens everything up. So it's great to have an orgasm with your partner after you've taken a yoga class. So Marie, I have to share with you a statement I just recently heard was about sex, and it said, sex is like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's good. And so I can agree with that on some terms, but you can't just live off bad pizza. You need to be balanced and have nutrition in other areas, and that's what sex is for a yogi. Can't just be sexually satisfied with mediocre sex. So it comes back to talking about biology. Women need to feel secure, because when they have sex, in the back of our mind is always going to be, when they have sex with a man, if I get pregnant, is he going to take care of me? Or am I going to be on my own? So women need to feel secure. That's one of the most important parts of being with their partner, and that's something that a man can do for them. Let me see, what else? There's the cleanliness with being intimate. Am I getting off track at all?
Oh, no, this is great. So one thing that I would say is that in some ways it's almost impossible to convey the qualitative difference between energetic sex versus regular physical sex. As much as we talk about it, unless you experience it, there's just no comparison. And
exactly.
So a question I would have for you that would be, I think, very interesting, because you kind of got shut down, you said, where mm-hmm. you would be with a man, but you weren't really there. What was the journey like using yoga to get yourself back into your body and connected to your energy? And there's two parts to this answer, because I think your information will help people who have never been able to connect energetically to sex is one thing, but also people who perhaps have suffered incest or molestation might get from your information that there's some hope for healing, because you kind of went away from your body and yet somehow were able to use yoga to bring it back and bring back sexuality and sensuality through yoga and the energy of yoga. So I'm very curious to hear, if you don't mind sharing, what that journey was like for you.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good question. And for me, the answer always comes back to love. So I can look for healing in other ways, like, for example, masturbation. You can use that too. And it's not recommended for men in yoga to masturbate, because there's so much that goes into making, there's so much more physically for them than for women. But for women, that's one of the places where we get like the thumbs up, and it's not so bad. So when you have somebody that you trust and you can be with, and you are spiritual, and I don't use masturbation as a way of just releasing. I stopped watching porn, you know, a couple of years ago, and that's another subject, but I highly recommend if you are watching things like that to cut it, because the effects that it has on other people and the unrealistic expectations it brings to both men and women. So when mm-hmm. I stopped doing things like that, then I was able to think of other things when I masturbated. So of course I don't think of my partner for to get aroused, but I also think of forgiveness. And I also think of peace and love. And rather than at the point of climax, just letting that energy go, because it is energy, I'll pull in my lower chakras and I'll send that energy to my heart or to my third eye or to my crown or anywhere that healing is needed. And that practice has opened up a lot of things spiritually for me, where at the while I'm doing that, I can ask my spirit guides to go to the man that I'm with. And I've asked recently for healing in my marriage. I'm still working around that. And I had the most profound experience one time where I understood, because I was being with a man who, it's kind of hard for a man to be with someone like me, because there's so many rules around my life, and I don't do things unconsciously. So a lot of times there can be feelings of isolation. So I always have to come back to the truth of that I'm never alone. My full focus is on being close to God. I have my consciousness, I have my spirit, my soul, so I'm never alone. But at this time, I was pleasuring myself, and I asked my spirit guides and the spirit guides of the man I was with to send somehow healing to my heart in regards to my divorce. And so at the point of climax, I just had this profound understanding of how when I left my husband, because this new man that I was being with had no idea what to do with a girl like me, and that I could use his energy to somehow connect with the healing that I needed of how when I left my ex-husband, he had no idea what to do. And he did everything wrong and destructive, but that's because he didn't know. And so I used energetically the love of the person that I was with to understand, who I couldn't have a lot of love for my ex-husband at the time, but to understand that he was going through something similar. And then when I climaxed, I sent the energy up, and I had just this, I felt a million times better after that, because I was able to forgive. And even if someone had told me, oh, well, your ex-husband didn't know what to do, so he did everything wrong, that wouldn't resonate with my soul. But because I am so physical, when I felt that energy of orgasm, I was able to physically and on a soulful level understand what happened, and I had forgiveness. So that's one long story of how you can use energy for healing. And you do want to be careful and make sure that it's okay with your partner that you're with to do things like that, because they will feel it, right. And so that's not so much a yogic practice, but that's something that I've discovered spiritually, and that helped me with my healing a lot. So there's a ton of healings out there, and you kind of have to experiment, whether it's taking a class on intimacy. Of course, in yoga, we're opening our hips constantly. So if you've had sexual abuse, that can be incredibly traumatic or scary. But physically, when you let go on a physical level of whatever you're holding on to in your hips, it teaches you, and you don't even know why it's happening, but it teaches you to let go of past pains too, because it's physically happening inside of you. So, yeah,
we want to take a 1 minute commercial break here, and then we'll come back to the show, and I have some more questions to ask you. Fascinating subject.
Okay.
And you're so knowledgeable and so open about talking about this. I'm thoroughly enjoying the information. So we'll take a commercial break and be right back.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We are living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
And we are back with Lauren Rovira with Source Yoga in California, talking to us about energy and yoga and the energetic connection that can happen with yoga practice, particularly as relates to intimacy and sexuality, a fascinating subject and really an important subject, I think, in this day and age where we have in so many ways lost the art of lovemaking, I think, and lost the incredible power that can happen with lovemaking. I wanted to ask you, Lauren, about I've heard in the past that men, very often martial artists, will bring themselves almost to the point of orgasm and then stop in order to recycle that energy. Is that something that's common in yoga practice also for men that's different than what women are encouraged to do?
Thank you for bringing that up, because it is practiced in a lot of spiritual people. It's not something that's recommended in the type of yoga that I study, which is Kundalini yoga. It's not recommended in Kundalini yoga to orgasm often. And of course, you can prolong your sexual experience by holding it in. But if a man feels the need to ejaculate, then it's not recommended to hold it in. So that's a different type of tantric practice that certainly works for many people. But for the type of yoga that I study, Kundalini yogis don't practice that. And they don't also practice masturbation. So thank you again for bringing that up for men. For women, it's fine. But for men, there's so much energy that goes into the minerals of making semen and in fantasizing. So everything when you have sex happens on the glandular level. And for a man, the pituitary gland gets overstimulated when he's fantasizing about someone being intimate with him. It's different if there's a person right in front of him that he's being with, but to actually bring all of that energy up for him to make him erect is much different than a woman's fantasy. So while they don't practice holding in their orgasm, they also aren't masturbating all the time. So that energy is still contained.
Got it. So yeah. And if you were teaching white tantric practices to women, for example, now, or maybe men and women, how does that happen? What do those classes look like if you wanted to convey that to some of your students and they were interested, what would those practices be?
We would all need to take a trip together to UCLA, or they do it at different big facilities, because we're not able as certified Kundalini teachers to teach it one-on-one to a student. So it's done in a huge group setting. There's thousands of yogis there, and they have Yogi Bhajan's, his subtle body is with us, but they have him on a big screen, and it's guided by the teachers that have been passed on this information and that are able to teach it. In white tantric yoga, just if you haven't heard of it, everybody wears white, and there's exercises that are done for, I believe it's about 6 hours. So,
wow.
6 hours with one practice, and you break through all kinds of barriers, more for me than red tantric did. But it's a lot of, holding your arms up and staring at your partner's eyes for 30 minutes, and then you'll get to take a little rest, and then you'll do it again. And so it's hours and hours of this same practice, and we'll take a lunch break, and if you need to go to the restroom or leave your partner, you have to lift your hand. So there's the way they set people up is a Z. So the energy of masculine and feminine is kind of flowing through the room, and you can't break that. So if you need to rest or leave for some reason, then somebody comes in and sits in your place for you and continues the practice. So it's quite energizing, and you feel the effect for many days afterwards.
Wow. And do you have to do that with your sexual partner, or can you go there, say, if a woman or a man wants to go there and they don't have a partner, can they still take that kind of class in order to
develop themselves? Yeah, yeah, they can. You don't have to be in a relationship with someone. I've done it maybe four times, and I've never done it with anyone I was in a relationship with. So they either pair you up or you can go with a friend.
Amazing. And why did you do it four times? What did you get out of doing it so many times?
It's, well, to be certified, it was one of the requirements. And they hold these events at least once a year locally. So when they come up, it's definitely an experience to go and participate in.
I love it. Wow.
Yeah.
And so what is Red Tantric? You mentioned that in passing.
That was the yoga. Well, it's a practice. It's a sexual practice and a form of like clearing your energy. But most of the time, all the times that I went, you don't actually have sex. Mm-hmm. You can be doing different breathing techniques or talking about sex or doing all kinds of different healing modalities. It's done in the nude many times, but you know, there's actually no actual penetration.
Right.
Yeah, so it's all different forms of healing. And if you're really interested in that, then there's a lot of, up north, there's a lot of different programs. I just kind of have veered off once I experienced that into more of the white tantric and the spiritual practices.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've also heard that especially with women, but with men also, that after an orgasm, all the energy channels in the body are open. And very often that is a great time to do energy work or healing work on somebody, because it's kind of like all the rivers are flowing. Is that anything that you're taught in yoga practice, tantric yoga?
It is. It's, well, yeah. And in Kundalini yoga, they just reference it as pillow talk. So even if it's just for a couple moments after of just being together, you can clean yourselves together. For a man especially, it's recommended he drinks golden milk, which is a form of turmeric and almond milk and coconut oil and all these yummy spices to replenish the energy that he had just lost. But it's definitely a time to connect, because the ultimate goal of sex, or anything for that matter for a yogi, is to be our true self. And when you are authentically being with somebody, then that's a very beautiful thing to do together. So basically, Yogi Bhajan recommends like brushing the woman's hair or talking and just being together, just basking in that energy that you just created.
Right. I love it. Now, what if you say you've kind of woken up and realized, had an energetic awakening, and you realize that perhaps some old energy is hanging around from an old partner? Is there something, a practice that one can do to cut those cords, to kind of cleanse yourself or free yourself from an old sexual relationship?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked, because that's very real. And if you're sensitive to energy, like more people are becoming, then you're going to feel it, and it can feel very heavy. So first of all, cutting cords, you can always pray to your angels. And as spiritual people, we're constantly forgiving. It's not like I forgave one day and now I'm perfect and it's done. So constantly asking Archangel Michael to just cut the ties. And luckily, with Kundalini Yoga, we have a huge toolbox of resources. So one meditation that I've been doing daily since November, is the Grace of God meditation. And it takes just a couple minutes a day. There's a breathing technique. And Yogi Bhajan says, just by being women, we are the grace of God. So there's a practice of holding the breath. And you guys can Google Grace of God meditation. It'll come up. But it heals your aura so that when people are around you, they feel better just by being around you, because you get brighter and brighter and brighter. So that's probably the easiest technique. If you have had many partners and you really just want to be very clear, then there's a Sodarshan Kriya, which is a little bit more physically challenging in that you hold your breath and you pump your stomach many, many times to a mantra. So it's quite exhilarating and exhausting. And you can do these things, but it all comes back to the pure intentions. So it won't work if I'm unconsciously sleeping around and then I'll think, well, I'll just do Sodarshan Kriya and I'll feel better. No, it won't work that way. You have to, as a yogi, want the best for the person that you're with. And you can't just chase after them and see what you're going to get from them and then clear your own energy. It will never work. So there's other things you can do too. If you, as a man, if you don't want to masturbate, you could take a cold shower, or you can do many, many frog poses, which we practice in class all the time because it balances your sexual energy and your sacral chakra. So women, they have the choice. They can go for a run or they can take care of themselves that way. But, and I think that I would rather be able to take care of myself than have multiple partners, because happiness always comes back to commitment is the first step that Yogi Bhajan gives us. And that's a whole nother class, but, commitment to yourself, commitment to these kriyas, to your practice. Another kriya is kirtan kriya, where you say a mantra, sata nama, which is infinity, life, death, rebirth. So you can chant that for 31 minutes. So yes, we're living beings and we take on these energies just by being alive, but we have tools, thank God, to come back to our pure essence and to kind of release and receive. And it's really a beautiful gift that we have just to be alive and to experience these things.
So it's kind of like you're describing, it sounds like we can energetically clean house, so to speak, the house being our body and our energy field, and that we should do that on a regular basis. It's not something you just do once a year. You wouldn't clean your house once a year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So if a couple is a homosexual couple, are there special practices or adjustments that have to be made for working with energies?
No, it's actually a physical thing. So the imprint of a man stays on a woman. The imprint of a man is not going to stay on a man, because he's not childbearing. He doesn't need that energy to stay with him. It'll stay with him for about a month, but for a woman, it can stay with her for a lifetime. So, so that's just a physical part of it. Same-sex couples, two women, they're both receiving. So their imprints are going to stay on each other, because whether they have a baby, well, physically they won't have a baby, but they're receiving each other. Women have that divine, that Adi Shakti, that creative energy that I was mentioning earlier. So they will hold each other's energies after they've been intimate together.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That's a good question.
And so if they wanted, if a same-sex couple wanted to practice tantric yoga, would they just follow kind of the same practice that different sex couples would do, or do they have to make some kind of adjustments?
I guess no, they would be able to sit across from each other and still practice together.
Great.
Yeah.
And so what if somebody is not that pure in their eating and they're trying, will these practices help them? I know sometimes if one does a practice, it actually feeds back to the body, so that it actually helps you clean up your body because you feel so much better. It's harder to eat garbage. Do you find that to be true with these kind of practices, or do you have
Absolutely.
To kind of clean first?
Yeah, and I think anyone can tell if you eat fast food, you're going to feel very sluggish, and you're going to feel closed off when you're intimate. When you're drinking a lot of coconut milk, you are taking herbs and you're eating vegetables that add to your vitality, you're going to have more sexual stamina. You're going to be more open to your partner. You're going to feel more clean, which is going to make you, want to have sex longer and to receive more. So it's all encompassing. The yogic diet definitely plays a part, and especially with men being able to perform and to satisfy their partner, then yes, they want to be eating healthy. They'll definitely get the benefits of that.
Right. Actually, also, I think I know for myself that when I'm eating well, I've never used deodorant in my life. And whenever my body's off balance, then I can tell because of odor. So it's kind of an interesting thing to think about that, too, that because sexuality has so much to do with all the senses, that when you have a clean body, it really is everything from smell to the texture of the skin to the breath.
To the taste. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And when you're being intimate and your partner is being aroused, you can definitely smell their pheromones change. And when you are eating beautifully, you're going to smell beautifully. When you're having a lot of other things, it's not going to be as nice. So those things turn on your partner. And so it's not just, you know, your appearance or, you know, how you look. It's absolutely how your skin feels and how sexy you feel inside.
Are there any physical cleansing practices that you do either before or after a sexual encounter that are particularly helpful, like a salt water bath or something before a sexual encounter or something afterwards? Or is that not?
Yeah, in Kundalini yoga, they definitely recommend that a woman cleans her armpits, her thighs, her body, and that a man always needs to clean his penis. And also, this is kind of off track, but to also know that he's more than just a penis. If you are just going to go, you have to respect the woman that you're with. Because if you're just going to go and just be a penis and have a release, then that's the experience that you're going to get back. And it can be so much deeper. So in Kundalini yoga, they recommend you to put sesame oil on his penis, but first of all, make sure it's very clean because women are taking in all of that and they can get, you know, bacteria. So, so to clean yourself before and after, and to clean your room before and after, drinking the golden milk after to replenish the man. What else? They don't have sex. Yogis don't have sex in the Amrit Vela. So those, that sacred time between 3 and 6 a.m. is for meditating. So wait till, you know, 6:05.
I love that.
You don't want to, and also honoring a woman's body. So when she's on her moon cycle or, you know, for the first, her period for the first 3 days, that's not a time to be sexual. Back in the day, women would go in the red tent and they would be together when they were on their cycle and they might cook or talk or just really take care of themselves because when they're bleeding, that's all energy that's leaving. And so they need to be more gentle. There's no heavy lifting. They don't have to do a whole lot of work. But that's part of the shift that's taken place where now women, they can just take a pill and not have their period, or they can just, you know, do other things to make it less. Right. And we've kind of shifted away from being natural and just honoring that we do that so that we can create life. So let's be gentle with ourselves. Let's not be sexual during that time. Let's rest more. You know, you don't have to go and drop everything from your life, but just be more gentle because that's when you have a lot going on physically. So
those are some kind of... I love it. I love all the sacredness being brought back into sexuality and the reverence for it and not having it just be a casual act. So we are coming to the end of our time, and I just want to thank you again. And Lauren Rovira can be found in Riverside, California with Source Yoga Studio in California. And her website is Source Yoga CA for California. And Lauren, we love you dearly, and thank you for making the time, and thanking you for being on the planet and being a shining light for us all.
Well, it was so fun. It's such an interesting topic. So thank you for raising the awareness around this and for allowing me to share. Love you dearly. Thank you, Marie.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye, sweetness.
Okay. Namaste.
Wonderful interview. Thank you. That was just great. I want to make a few announcements before we move to the next part of the show. Please do stay tuned for the second half of the show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce the call-in number a little later, so have your pen and paper ready to write down that number and call in for your free reading. And if you're unable to catch our show last week, it was entitled Stairway to Heaven, all about the afterlife. You'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives to all of our previous shows at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Just click on the archives tab there on the homepage. And please feel free to circulate these archive links and future show details to your friends and family. We want to connect with as many people as possible, so please help us to do that. And visit as well our website, psychicbloggers.com, where you can learn about everything from the paranormal to reincarnation, the how-tos of psychic development. And everything there is free, all contributed by the wonderful readers at psychicaccess.com. Now, if you're interested in reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find that all of our readers are verified, accuracy tested, each offering their own unique gifts. And every pro psychic has a detailed profile so that you can find out about their work and choose the person that you feel can help you with your inquiry. It's an honor to work with Psychic Access and Doug, because we have extremely high expectations of all of our readers, and we enjoy very much what we do. All of the co-hosts here on Psychic Access Talk Radio work at Psychic Access, and if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com, because we would love to hear from you. And by the way, if you have your own website, you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading for traffic that is referred from your website to psychicaccess.com. So if you'd like to read more about that fantastic offer, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us here in the chat room and to listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so please spread the word. We appreciate you listening and being with us each week. And we also appreciate you telling other people about the show. Okay. Let me give the telephone number for readings a little bit later on. 724-444-4851. And now we're at that part of the show where we'll discuss the interview. I'm going to hand back over to Professor Nonna Marie.
Thank you so much, Steve, for all that information. And I'd love to hear from Lauren. I saw that you put in the chat room that you love that sex is like pizza. That was very funny. So, are you familiar with tantric practices? And was this some new information for you or something that you're familiar with, Lauren?
I'm familiar with tantric. I'm not familiar with myself. I've heard about it. I've always wanted to take classes and go learn more about it. I'm fascinated by it. And I have always kind of heard to almost kind of watch out when I was taking yoga classes, you know, before I started Kundalini yoga, I've always wanted to try that also, that you had to really be in a good place because you really are opening up channels and moving things. And if you are not ready, it can really open havoc. But then I wonder, I think, well, if it's meant to be open, then maybe it is meant to be, and the havoc is supposed to help release things. But it sounds fascinating, and I was a little scared when I heard you retain the energy bodies of past sexual partners. Mm-hmm. But I loved how she shared about how to release that, you know, and how to be mindful, and how we do really have sex without really being thinking about it of ourselves. So, I mean, and I loved how open she was, and she talked about her body. And she was so open about talking about masturbation and having partners. So, God, was she a beautiful person. And I'm so glad you had her on here. She was wonderful.
Yeah, she's fabulous. I really appreciated all her openness as well. And tantric is not a practice that's well known in this country anymore. In fact, people have been arrested for prostitution, unfortunately, for some of the teachings of tantric practices. And when Lauren mentioned something about being in a class and everybody was naked and staring at each other, and before she went into the white tantra, that kind of work is very hard to find these days because of the taboo, I guess, against that kind of work. And yet it is so powerful to be used, especially with people who have been raped or who have suffered sexual abuse. It's really a shame that it's considered so strange here in this country. But Steve, I'm wondering if you are at all familiar with tantric practices and what you thought of the information tonight.
Well, I'm not overly familiar with it, Nona Marie. Obviously, I'm amazing in bed, but I'm open to learning more. And I'm sure there's a little something I could learn. But the I do believe that sex is very important, and sex can be very sacred, and it can function on different levels. So, you know, you can go and do a quick meditation in which you don't necessarily focus very clearly or switch off very clearly, or you can do a really deep and transformational meditation. And I think that sexual experiences can be like that. You know, sex, when there's true spirituality, can be something that's very alchemical. I believe that it can create an extremely strong spiritual bond between two people. And I also believe it can be part of the solution in terms of raising our own energy, changing our frequency, and, you know, changing the world around us. But the sad thing is that there's too much abuse of sexual practice. And it's interesting that your guest mentioned pornography, mm-hmm. because I think that the advent of the internet, particularly, and the availability of pornography so easily, has had an effect upon the way people view sex. And I have to say, I'll say this, it's been quite a racy show, so I'll be completely honest. You know, I'm gay, and I watch porn sometimes. You know, my partner's busy and actually doing research work in Brazil at the moment. And so obviously I watch gay porn, but there are times when I watch straight porn because it quite turns me on. But I stopped watching it because I don't like the way the women are portrayed and treated in straight porn. You know, in gay porn, it's two men or more that are equal. And when I've seen straight porn, I just noticed that the woman is some kind of object, mm-hmm. and that the man is somehow superior. And particularly, I just find it very distasteful, and I find it quite damaging because I feel that all people are to be respected and revered, and that's men and women. So I think that pornography can do quite a lot of damage, and I think that it can give us a pretty shallow perception of what sex can actually do for us. But really different show, Nona Marie. I want to thank you for doing that show because it's quite a unique show. We haven't really done anything like that before, but it's extremely interesting.
You said about straight porn, that's really, really important. And there is actually, I don't know if they're still around, but there used to be a store called Good Vibrations in Northern California that was owned and run by women that only sold pornography that was pro-woman, that where women were portrayed in a very good light, whether it was gay encounters or straight encounters in the presentations. And I so appreciated that kind of consideration. And it is really important because when we see those images, it does have an impact on our psyche, whether we really feel it at the time or not. So that, I think that was a great observation. And they also, that Good Vibrations company, they also did a lot of educational work on the history of vibrators, the history of masturbation. They were very, very relaxed about it, very friendly about it. They had pictures of all the staff members, so none of it was like dirty and weird and strange. It was all about just sexuality and healthy sexuality. And that is so missing in our world today. It makes me quite sad that we can't have a bigger exposure to healthy, curious, exploratory sexuality. It's really a shame. Lauren, I interrupted you. And
I'm just listening, and I'm so loving this. I mean, I love that Steve just shared too. I mean, my first sexual experience, I was raped violently. So I learned, and, you know, having, like many other women out there, having father and daddy issues and looking to sex for, to have some kind of affection and to fill that hole of love. And now at 34, obviously you've learned that's not really what you wanted. You wanted a healthy relationship. So I really, really, I wish there was more classes like that. And I'm actually going to go try and find one of those. The idea of sitting in a room naked, I know it sounds, but sounds so healing, because it's not about sex. It's really about, and when you get to a healthy sexual place, it's really about intimacy and being seen and sharing yourself with someone versus the act of sex. And I had to learn not, because the act of sex is easy. That's just a physical thing. So in my days, I've had to learn to separate, not sex and love, but I've actually had to learn to separate those and to then bring it together into one and not just have meaningless sex. Like the, right now, the idea to have meaningless sex is so just like, ugh, no thank you. I've already done that. I've been down that road. So to actually have that part of you healed and to realize that it is something, it's almost very empowering for you. So when she was talking about like that, where you would sit and you would look at someone in the eyes, and it was just like, wow. And especially for someone or many women or even men that have come through rapes and abuse and incest, you know, it is taking your power back and learning that it is fine to be a sexual being and that you have power in that. So I thought that was refreshing and beautiful.
It is a shame that tantric is not more available. I was taught a tantric practice by my Taoist master teacher, and we were taught that we can and we do bring people to orgasm, not touching them sexually at all, but literally using energy, sometimes touching someone in the elbow or sometimes just staring at them. And once the person, and fully clothed this is, and then once the person is brought to orgasm, we can then do this profound energy work on them in areas that normally are blocked, especially if there's been any kind of sexual violation at all, like rape or incest. And there were a number of women that we worked on that, and it didn't matter if a man or a woman worked on the person. It didn't have to be you know, a mixed energy. It could be man on man, woman on woman, doesn't matter. But once we brought someone to an orgasm, again, with their clothes on, not touching them sexually, we could get in and do energy work that would literally heal these channels in people, psychological and energetic channels that had been kind of fried by sexual abuse. And in all the cases, the women that I talked to said that if they had not had that work done on them, they doubted that they would have ever had a healthy sexual relationship in their life ever. Because for years prior to that work, they were either twisted or shut down. And it just makes me so sad that this is not a practice that's readily available. You pretty much have to go underground to find a true tantric practitioner, one who has ethics and integrity and doesn't use it for sexual to take advantage of someone sexually. And I've just never seen anything else work so well on people who have been abused in some way sexually. So I'm very glad to hear that there seems to be some awareness of it and some offering still in these areas. When Lauren mentioned some of the work she's done, it's been a long time since I've heard someone talk about being able to find classes like that. So it's really a spectacular practice, but again, in this country, not very popular or easily found. In a lot of the Eastern cultures, if you go to the temples, you will see carvings in the temple of sexual practices. You will see the gods and goddesses having sex, and they're not having sex to have sex. They're having sex to do healing and to raise energies and to combine energies in a sacred manner. But in this country, it's considered blasphemy to see that kind of thing.
And could you imagine how healing that would be for partners, man and woman, man and man, female and female, whoever your partner is, to sit with each other and be able to connect on that level and also engage in that and also heal yourself and heal them. And I loved how she even talked about when she was having intercourse with her partner, she was at, and she took that loving and that forgiveness and sent that to her heart and almost released her ex-husband and sent love to that. I was just like, wow. I mean, because really, once you can forgive and really, truly, I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, I forgive you. But once you can really, and you can send that love and that healing to yourself and to that person, I just thought, there's something to look into. Really.
That is amazing. And I also think that if we had that kind of practice more readily available, that sexual violence could be taken down quite a few notches. I think one of the highest crime rates in the world still is violence against women. There is a website actually called V-Day where you can look up the daily statistics by country, by state, of sexual violence against women. And it's off the charts. It is crazy how much this still happens. And I just have this, I don't know if it's a fantasy or a wish, that if we had tantric practices more readily available, imagine if like those kind of classes of staring into each other's eyes were available in high school when hormones were running wild and students learned how to channel that energy and to feel that energy and to revere that energy instead of acting it out. What a different world this might be for us.
Oh, I so agree. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, especially the idea, because so many people, intimacy is, or to be intimate or even have someone in, to even put you in a vulnerable place is so uncomfortable for so many people. So, I mean, not even talking about sex, even in healthcare or anything, when you've put your body or a position of yourself into even yoga. I mean, I can even tell when I was doing yoga, I was in my yoga training and we were doing asana practices and we had to put a block underneath my hips and it opened me up, my hips up.
Mm-hmm.
I started sobbing. I had no idea what it was. It just came on, and my beautiful yoga teacher, she's just, let it pass. Whatever it is, it needs to come out and let it pass. And I remember at that moment, it was almost being forced in my head. It took me right back to being forced into having sex, but because it was being violent, and you're opening. And so I always, at that moment, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm in a very insecure place. I'm open and I don't like this. And once after that and that releasing, that's my favorite yoga pose. Like, it feels fabulous.
I love that. I just love it. It's just amazing. That kind of work is just absolutely amazing. Yeah, it makes me very sad that we don't have that out there as easily accessed by people to do that kind of healing just through yoga practice. I love that description that you talked about. It is very true that we hold so much trauma and emotions in the body, and doing a posture and breathing into it can just bring us a huge relief, even if we have no name for it at the time.
Yeah. I mean, I love this. Now we're talked to have her talk on like once a month about different positions and how to release the energy that's been trapped in, and you know, when you start thinking about something else, how to let that person go. And that tells now all the women, so when you go to the club or go dancing and that man's just trying to get into your pants, like, no, I'm above that.
Too funny. So, Steve, isn't your partner, didn't you mention, isn't he a Buddhist? And doesn't he get up and do practices early in the morning? Which is reminding me of what Lauren said about her practice at 5 in the morning.
He's extremely interesting. He chants for 1 hour a day.
Wow.
And any time something occurs that he isn't happy with, his response is, I caused this.
Wow.
I manifested this. I magnetized this into my world. And it's my responsibility. I need to go and chant for greater awareness so that I do not create these reactions in the world. He's absolutely fascinating. He's wonderful. We do have a caller, actually, Nona, and this caller is for you from New Jersey.
Yay, New Jersey, near New York, my favorite city. Are you there, New Jersey?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, what's your name?
Simone? Yes.
Hi, how can I help you? What's your question?
My question is, I've been talking to I met a great friend. Sorry, my little one. I met a great friend by the name of Jermaine, and he was a coworker. We've been talking for a month, and then it just stopped like a week ago. I've been texting and calling, and no response.
And
is
what
there
is
any way
your
to pick up anything,
name?
Or whether he'll call, or is something wrong, or...
What is his first name, please?
Jermaine? Yes, ma'am.
You know, I think you will hear from him again. It feels to me like he has had some crisis go on in the background there. It does feel to me like he has family, like a divorce or an ex-girlfriend or something like that, that he's, you know, he's not just free and clear. So it feels to me like something has blown up in his personal life that's taken all of his attention, and that you will hear from him. It might be another week before you hear from him, but also know that this will not be the last time that happens. In other words, he comes with quite a lot of baggage at the moment. Nice person in many, many ways, but he has a lot of other commitments. He has a lot of emotional ties with family. So if you're looking for a man who will be 100% available to you, this will be a man who will be split between you and family commitments still for quite a few years. So I would say take it slow and make sure that you can handle that. I think in your mind, you think that you can handle it, but I think that perhaps that's not true, that you are trying to have a bigger heart but to be more tolerant than perhaps you can really handle. So I would say to you, go slowly with this and pay attention to his behavior, not what he says, but pay attention to his behavior. And I think you'll be in okay shape with this. I don't think this is going to be a giant long-term relationship, but I think it's a good encounter for you and you should stay with it. Don't break it off. Stay with it, learn from it, and it will open you up to some more experiences with another man afterwards. Sometimes we have to
take. I'm not really like into a relationship with him. He's just a great friend who I always talk to and always rely on. He never told me he's in a crisis because I'm already in a relationship. But
okay.
He was just like a big brother to me, you know.
I think he has some romantic feelings for you that perhaps he has not expressed. And therefore does not share with you some of these things that go on in the background. So pay attention to that. I would say pay attention to that. I don't think that his romantic inclinations will ruin your relationship in any way, but I do think that it's there. And I do think that he has kind of a hopeful attitude that perhaps something will happen with the two of you.
Not if he has baggage. No, thank you. I would love to continue to be his friend because his friendship is like going bowling, exercising, bike riding, things that I've never done before.
Yeah,
and,
good.
It was fun, but I never knew that he either had baggage or yeah. you know, an ex-girlfriend or whatever the case may be. I know he had a breakup 2 months ago, yeah. but he never indicated further.
Yeah, I think you'll be hearing from him about it pretty shortly. Pretty shortly. Okay. He will share some of that with you. But I do think he has more of an interest in you than just friendship. But he's too good-natured to impose that on you. But I think you'll feel some feelers coming out in that direction.
Okay. I really appreciate everything you told me.
And all right. Thank you for calling in. And I hope stay in touch.
That I can talk to you offline as well.
Absolutely.
Where can I talk to you offline?
All right, sweetheart. Thank you for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wonderful reading. Thank you. Okay, now we have another caller from New Jersey, and this is for Lauren.
Hi, New Jersey.
Hi.
Who am I speaking to?
Hi. Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn. What can I help you with tonight?
Hi. I was calling because I reconnected with someone. We're friends. We stopped talking because we moved out of state. And so we, like, back in contact now, like, reconnected. Do you see anything going? Do you see us, like, going anywhere, like, us, like, having some kind of relationship or something?
Okay, what is his name?
His name is Sean.
Sean?
Yes.
Okay, can you say his name 3 times for me?
Say it?
His name.
Oh, okay. Sean.
Okay. So are you or him in a relationship or marriage?
You said, am I?
You or him. It feels like there is a connection, or I'm feeling like there's another person involved. So are either of you, there is no judgment here, so it does not bother me. Is either of you connected to someone else?
I was married.
Okay. Are you divorced? Or are you still in the marriage?
We're divorced. He's a roommate.
Okay. Well, then that would make sense. Okay. Because I'm like, what is this other? Okay. So then that makes sense. Because I'm like, who's the third
wheel? My ex-husband, I don't have no feeling for him. I can't stand his guts. Ready for the move, you know.
That's okay. Well, then that makes perfect sense where the third wheel was coming from. So thank you for that. With that, no, I mean, I really do feel like, I do feel like there is a possibility that this could develop into something. I don't feel like it's going to happen soon because I feel like right now that would make sense because I was literally picking up a connection. I couldn't figure out it was for you or him, that there was someone else attached. So I feel like once you were out of the home and once you are cleared of the marriage or the relationship, because regardless, you are still in the energy body of the marriage. You are still there with the person. So it's still like, even though you're divorced or you're getting divorced, that person is still almost still tethered to you. And that's what I was feeling. I'm like, wait a minute. And once that is completely severed, then it really opens up those doors for another relationship. I mean, you can go into any relationship right now. You could start dating Tom next door. And I don't feel like it would be successful because the door from the other one hasn't been fully dealt with. It hasn't been healed. It hasn't been looked at, and then it hasn't been closed and sealed and let go. Do you understand when I say that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I mean, with Sean, in regards to him, definitely you reach out to him, start a friendship, you know, reconnect to that person. But before you, I invite you, you know, I'm not you, so you do whatever you want. Would it go into something more? Yes, but you need to clean out the closet before you start bringing other things into the closet. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. That's kind of the best way. And so clear out everything with the ex, let all that go, and then then bring in that person. Because, I mean, can you imagine bringing Sean in and then the ex-husband still sitting in the living room? I don't see that going very well.
Well, he lives in another state, and my ex is here only because, you know, to go half with me on the bills. We're not dating, going out, and all that kind of jazz.
But could you imagine if that person came to your house because they were, you know, because there would be a position down the road that they could come? That's what I'm saying, is because it can go into that. And could you imagine him coming, and then your ex is sitting on the couch? How comfortable would that be?
Yeah.
So right now, finish clearing up everything with the ex. before you move on that way. And I understand it's the bill part. So really kind of get yourself back on track and then move forward is what I'm saying.
It's like I'm kind of like scared. Like it's like I mean, it's like I'm scared that I'm going to like not have money for bills. And that's what scares me just by saying, okay, go on down there or whatever. I don't know why it scares me.
I understand. Well, it's coming back on your feet. And, you know, after it is very scaring and fearing to stay in something because you're afraid that you will fall and you know, financially hit bottom. I mean, I understand that completely. So you're staying in something that's unhealthy or just what is. If you have a friendship and it's a healthy thing and your roommates, but you just said, I can't stand the person. So you've actually put yourself in a toxic situation because you're fearful of what will happen. If not, what about if that person left and you brought in a healthy roommate, another female or another man that was on a healthy level, then your environment energy is picked up and it's in a healthy place. And then you can bring in relationships versus having a person that is, you know, causing you discomfort or anger or you haven't been able to deal with those things. So do you see the difference in that?
Yes.
So I invite you to open up your eyes and come with like when you take your hands off your eyes, you can see all the different roads in front of you. But by doing that, you'll see you're not going to fall. You're a strong woman and you're not going to let that happen. So look at how other ways that you can find that security without having that person that is causing anger and just, you know, in your house. I hope that helps.
Yes, that helped a lot.
Okay, well, thank you. And I hope to hear from you and let me know how that works because it definitely will work out. You just got to clean out the closet first.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Great reading, Lauren. Thank you. We have a caller now from California, and I'm going to take this one. Who's calling from California? California, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Great. What's your name?
Okay, so, I'm just wondering about my love life, and I've gone through a lot, and I'm recreating my life right now with a new career, and I'm in school, and I find this fascinating. Like I really feel that you know, we're all connected somehow, and I just thought I'd throw that out there and see what you had to say.
Great, thank you. Well, what's your name?
Valerie.
Valerie. Okay, Valerie. Well, you know, Valerie, this is not one of the first thing I'm going to say to you is not it's not psychic or intuitive. It's obvious, but it's very good information. And I share this with you based upon the work I've done with a lot of clients and the results I've seen in them. Often we feel that we need to be in a partnership, don't we? We need a relationship. We need to be with somebody that they will complete something that's missing in ourselves. And the reality is that we're complete and perfect as we are. We don't need to be with somebody. We don't need to be in a relationship. We are complete. And when we fully appreciate that, when we really, at the deepest level, accept that we are perfect, that we're just fine as we are, and we love and celebrate ourselves and our lives, and we truly enjoy everything that life has to offer to us as individuals, then our energy shifts. And you've come a long way in that process. So in actual fact, my guides draw me back 5 and 6 years with you. And so let's see, it's 2015. So it takes us to 2000, maybe 1999. And some of your disappointments are actually rooted back around that time. And, you know, it has taken time to really clear through that, to let go of those disappointments, to realize that how another person behaves towards us is largely about who they are and their issues rather than ours. Because so often we feel that the way another person behaves is because of us. But actually, that's not necessarily the case. So you've done really great work, and my guides are applauding you for the progress you've made. The other thing that shifted in you is you really have embraced the excitement of your work in the world. And that's the term I like to use, Valerie, because I don't like the term just work or job. We're gifted. We're different. We each have gifts to share. And there are things that you can do far better than anyone else can do. And you've really found your groove. You're really making enormous strides forward. So all of this good work gets rewarded, Valerie, because the universe and spirit will feed back to you whatever you resonate. So if you resonate joy and excitement about life and service to the world and self-esteem, then you will get the rewards. So you've made brilliant progress professionally. Money is not necessarily where you want it to be. And you are going to continue to let go of things. And I actually feel in the month of May, there's what you might perceive as a little blip in terms of your path. But I want you to embrace the blip because you're going to let go of even more. And that puts you in the springtime in a really great place. And you're going to be feeling, once you get past that time, better than ever. And finances will improve for you. You will meet a partner. I feel that you meet a partner later in the year. And you're going to be very discerning because you're one of these people that has actually reflected upon previous relationships and accepted responsibility for what you chose. And you've made that list of things you don't want to recreate or repeat in a relationship. The thing you don't want to see or experience in a partner, and you fine-tune that list of things that you do want, and you're going to be very well rewarded. You're going to meet someone that's very well established, that's feeling good, that recognizes what you have to offer, and that can also offer a huge amount in return. You're also going to be very close to this person's family. And you'll find that this person has a great love of animals. And this really can happen for you. And it's not something you've experienced before. You will be extremely happy. Don't let that blip in May get to you. Okay?
Okay, so with regards to that bit in May, are you saying there's like a hiccup or something, or what do you...
Yeah, it's a bit of a hiccup, and it's more related to your work and your finances than anything else. But just embrace it. Embrace it as something that needs to be fine-tuned. And you've got a couple of friends that are a little bit needy as well that you're likely to let go of in the late spring, early summertime. But I feel excited for you, and I feel very confident that there's a great relationship. So enjoy every day. Wake up every morning grateful for the morning, loving yourself, filling your day and your night with the things that you enjoy, and the rest will just take care of itself. And I feel strongly that by October, you'll be settled in a great relationship, and you deserve it. Okay?
Yeah, I'm excited, and, you know, I feel like I'm in a new phase in my life, and and I do... Yeah, you know, people, places, and things that no longer serve you do fall by the wayside, and I'm excited about letting go of things that don't serve me, because, you know, I think life is too short.
Life is wonderful. Life is wonderful, and the good news is that there are many lives after this one, but let's enjoy this one as well. It's to be treasured, and the good work that we do here in terms of our self-development, our spiritual development, letting go of character traits that don't work for us, letting go of baggage that's going to serve us very well in spirit as well as here. So you're doing brilliantly, and you can feel what I've described. You don't really need me to tell you. You can feel the shifts. So we wish you all the luck in the world, Valerie, and we're very excited for you. We're grateful for you calling in.
Yeah, I appreciate you and you sharing. I can't thank you enough.
Our pleasure. You look after yourself. Good luck. Let us know what happens. We'll be excited to hear about it. Okay. Well, now we have a call from Virginia for Nunnery.
Hi, Virginia. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, my name is Allison.
Allison?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, what's your question? How can I help you?
Gentlemen, I've been saying, I would love to know if his feelings are genuine towards me.
Whoops, you're breaking up quite a bit there. Try asking again. I couldn't catch all the syllables.
Can you hear me any better?
A little better.
Okay. Oops. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Okay. A gentleman that I've been seeing, I would just like to know if you think his feelings are genuine towards me.
And what is his first name?
His name is Lewis.
Lewis?
Mm-hmm.
It does feel to me like his feelings towards you are very genuine. It feels to me like he has an enormous amount of self-doubt in himself, and that makes him act rather sporadic at times. And it also feels to me like he's a little bit anxious about whether or not he wants to be feeling anything for anybody ever again. It's like half of him wants to be in love and another half of him wants to be buried in a pit somewhere with friends and be left alone completely and not have any encounters that might break his heart again. So I think that you might...
Well, and his issue too is he is actually in a relationship that he does not appear to be very happy about. So that's
exactly.
I'm asking.
Exactly. So for him to wade into the waters of where he might face heartbreak as opposed to kind of saying stuck where he is, that is his dilemma. He is not somebody who likes conflict. He is not somebody, while he wants to be in love, he really has a big investment in not having his heart broken. So there's a lot of conflicting feelings in there that you're seeing. It will take him quite a while to consider leaving the relationship he's in. So
that's the feeling I get.
A long process for you to go through that. And even with that, an even longer process really is whether or not he's willing to allow himself to fall in love again, because there's a part of him that would rather be kind of deadened and stay deadened. So for you, it's a long process ahead of you. I would say you're looking at close to 2 years before he would really be willing to believe that what you have is real enough, that he would be willing to step off that cliff of moving forward towards you and away from the relationship that he's in. Part of me feels that you are that patient, actually. So I would say, since there's no one else really on the horizon, number one. Number two, I think it's very hard for you to find somebody that you're really that attracted to like you are with him.
Yeah,
so I would say to you,
right.
Yeah, in most cases I would say to somebody, time to move on and you're going to, waste 2 years of your life. But in your case, I would actually say, hang in there. Do it. Take care of yourself. Hang in there. Keep putting it back on his lap. Don't force him to move forward. Just always put it back in his lap when he asks, what should I do? Or, do you really love me? And you could say, yes, I do. But just let him man up on all of this. Because if you in any way pick up that slack, that will give him more room to back off and back down. Whereas if you keep putting it in his lap, he's going to have to get the courage then to open his heart more and more to you. I do not think you're in any danger of getting cremated by him emotionally. I don't think he's being duplicitous. I don't think he's hiding anything, nothing that you don't already know about. And I honestly think he's giving it all his best. It's just his best isn't very good right now.
Okay.
And I think what you have with him is good enough. There's a part of you, as much as you want to be in love, it does feel to me, there's a part of you that's also pretty cautious. So taking a long time for this to develop would not be a bad thing for you either. It will give you time to find some of your rough spots and smooth them out a little bit.
And I think I'm kind of doing that actually now, and not trying to make myself over, but just things that I thought were maybe gone that are still a little bit, there's a little bit of residue left there.
Good for you. Good for you that you've noticed that and you're honest about it. And the healing process is really, really important because we don't want to carry that stuff forward into the next relationship. So I think this is actually, even though we, on the surface, we should say, well, this isn't a good situation, I actually think it is a very good situation for both of you, even though it's kind of unusual to say that about this kind of, you know, intertwining.
It's not my norm at all.
Yeah, yeah. So I think you're doing well, sweetness. So keep going. Take it slow. Enjoy what you have with him. And you're very good, by the way, at not going crazy with expectations. You know, a lot of people, they build up a fantasy of what it's going to be, and then they get all impatient. You are very good at staying in the now in the relationship, and that is a very unusual quality. So congratulate yourself on that and enjoy what you have with him and watch it unfold, sort of like you'll be watching a little garden grow and little tiny baby plants, and after a while there'll be great big plants with vegetables in it. I think you'll be in good shape.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Stay in touch. Thanks for calling.
All right. Good night.
Good night, sweetheart.
It was a great reading as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, we're just waiting to see if we have another caller. But I want to just ask you, Nana Marie, to discuss a little more the interview and perhaps yoga. I do a lot of yoga, and I found that it's brought me wonderful benefits physically and spiritually.
And what's the question? I'm sorry.
Well, I was just wanting us to discuss the interview a little bit more and perhaps the yoga side of the interview.
Oh, yes. You probably know more about yoga than I do. I know more about the tantric practices than I do yoga. I pretty much, all I know about yoga is that hatha yoga is much more about getting a posture and holding it. And through that, there's a lot of physical and energetic releases. And then I did do some work with Yogi Bhajan before he crossed over, who Loren is studying with the white tantric practices. And they are quite, very exuberant. I mean, very strenuous work where you sit and you breathe in and out for minutes at a time. They're exhausting and yet energizing at the same time. And I think there's many other kinds of yoga, but I don't have much exposure to other than those two kinds of yoga. And Loren is one of the few people I've ever met who actually lives the yogi lifestyle, other than the Sikhs that I met along with Yogi Bhajan. I've met plenty of yoga practitioners that I know who don't eat that well. They do not get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and do their practice. And so
I'm struggling with, to be honest, Nana Marie. It's the 5 a.m. I find 8 a.m. challenging.
Right.
I'd like to, though. I'm finding, though, that as I get a little older, I don't need as much sleep.
Right, right.
And, you know, if you could just free up an extra hour of the day, sleep for an hour less, so much you can do with that hour that relieves stress and clears admin, etc. I do think that starting the day with yoga at sunrise would be just wonderful. There's something so magical about sunrise and sunset and looking at the moon. And I would like to go to India next year to study Vedic astrology, but also to do some really rigorous yoga practice. I love the thought of being in the mountains and doing yoga at sunrise. Right. Obviously, I'll have a good latte afterwards, but balance, hey?
I love it. I love it. Yeah, there is. I have a friend in New York who says because he is so undisciplined that what he has to do is get up. He gets up at 5 a.m. and he says he literally rolls out of bed and falls on his knees to meditate, because if he does anything else, he will get distracted and he will not do his practice. Yeah, so I do get up very, very early myself, usually 5 or 6 a.m. and do some kind of practice. But I don't think it's to the extent that what Loren does, where she actually does her postures and her breathing and the way she eats. I mean, I've met her in person a number of times and she just radiates like health and purity. And yet she is not a prude and she is not a judgmental and not. Sometimes we think of people with a strong practice as being kind of rigid and dry and very structured. She is just one of the most loving, kind of loosely living people, but yet the practice that she does runs through every aspect of her life. It's just phenomenal. Very inspiring to me. My practice is nowhere near as good as what she does.
One of the things I would like to do is clean up my diet. I'm working out a lot, so I'm exercising a lot and feel great. But I want to, I probably want to go vegetarian, I think, or yes. Even vegan. I feel like that's what I should do. We'll see, maybe later this year. Well, Loren, have you done yoga?
Yes, I have. I actually took my 200 yoga hour training so I could. Well, actually, I missed one class, so I actually need to do one thing. I could teach it, but I have no desire to teach it. I did it for myself so I could feel comfortable doing yoga poses. My favorite yoga, I mean, it was very healing for me, and I loved it. And I know when part of the yoga, the Hatha yoga, you know, at the end you're doing teacher training and you're getting up and teaching a class. And some when the women were up there teaching and the men – it was beautiful. Their energy that radiated, it was gorgeous. When I get up and kind of did a little meditation and prayer, it was kind of like, this isn't for me to teach. And I found when I was down in Shavasana, I just had a bunch of dead people standing above me going, hey, you're almost done. So I found yoga to be kind of distracting. I was like, ooh, I can't be this relaxed and with this many people around me.
I found Lauren, that I've done some of my deepest meditations in yoga. I do power yoga.
Oh, that's nice.
And hot
I heard that's
yoga.
Better.
Well, it depends. They're different. You know, I like to do hot yoga because I think you detox, and it's just great because you can really let go and it really helps with flexibility. So it helps you to really deepen the postures. But I like yin yoga. I love yin yoga because you stay in each pose for about 5 minutes, but you really let go. And I just love yin yoga. And I think to combine a really active, rigorous practice with a yin practice is brilliant because you're doing both ends of the spectrum. It's really, really good. If I made time, I would do yoga every single day.
Oh, I'm so with you. I mean, realistically, if I made the time, I would do the yin because the lady that was doing the yin, she was so beautiful with the bowls. And I like gong. I like the gong. It's something about that moves the energy and just kind of clears things that is just so empowering. But also what I took, which I loved, was yoga nidra, which is almost like a sleep yoga, which is literally bringing your mind and silencing it and bringing your body's natural energies up, and it starts releasing and healing things. So I was fascinated with yoga nidra. So I'm all for yoga, any part of yoga, chair yoga, sleep yoga, lay down yoga, sex yoga. If we can incorporate this all, I need the caffeine with it. I have a hard time with the idea of getting up at 5 a.m. I'm getting up this whole week at 3 a.m. and this is kind of kicking my butt. I'm so not a morning person.
The one time
3 a.m.
3 a.m. I don't even go to bed till about 3:30. Why are you getting up at 3 a.m.?
I'm doing a nursing aid. It's for school. It's an internship. So I'm up at 3 a.m. I'm at the center at 4:30. And you're doing about 10 hours of assisting patients and nurses to take my state boards. So I find that very interesting. I love it. And as an empath, it is very important to ground in the morning. So I should probably get up and do the grounding. But at 3 in the morning, I'm just like, get up.
Oh, gosh. Well, you'll reap your rewards. I admire nurses. It's wonderful work.
Oh, it really, you know what? I'm so amazed and I love it. Is being very psychic and being very intuitive and all these beautiful gifts. I love it in this field too. There was a lot of patients that are in hospice. I was doing Reiki on people. All this week I've been doing Reiki on people too. And I just find that when you kind of align yourself and you can see people and beyond that and their energies, it's beautiful. I remember there's one lady that was a hospice and they told me she was close and I could see it because I could see her family members actually when I was sitting there helping her eat. They were very close almost since you're a medium. I feel like when they're farther away, it's kind of, but they were literally at the table. So I knew her time was close and she could see them. And I held her hand and I said, I see them too. And it's okay. You know, when you're ready, it's okay. So it was almost, and she smiled and she grabbed my hand. So it was almost beautiful because it was almost like validating for her too. Yes, it's okay. They're right there waiting for you. And that to me is a beautiful part of healthcare.
Yeah, I actually spent time with my friend Misty as her father was passing, and it took him about 24 hours to pass from the time when he was taken off the medications that were basically keeping him alive.
Yeah.
And so we sat together. And we were there in the room with him, and he snored and snored, and it was quite an experience to be with him as he wound down, as he transitioned, and it was quite an experience to be with Misty, his daughter, as that happened, and to see the peace. Because, you know, he'd done quite a number of things that were difficult or wrong in life. And just to see the complete forgiveness and love that she offered him, it was absolutely beautiful. I think it was the most touching experience of my life so far. And a real honor to be with somebody as they transition to spirit. And I don't know if I've said this before. I probably have said this before on the show, Lauren. I've probably said it every week. But I had a really bad accident years ago, and I passed to spirit. I was resuscitated 3 times. Wow. But I experienced being in spirit, and it was just blissful. Blissful. I mean, bliss is probably the only word that gets close to describing the feeling. Oh. It's as though everything's equalized. It's as though everything you ever did that was wrong is forgotten, is fixed. It's, you feel just completely at peace, completely safe, completely loved.
It is that feeling. Peace. Yeah. It is really feeling that when you connect. I mean, I don't meditate very much. I know, shame on me. I should do a lot more things that I'm doing right now. I just haven't managed my time very well right now with children and school and everything.
I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. I have enough issues just managing myself.
I should probably go back to my yoga practice. So maybe this was kind of a spirit thing to go back to yoga. But I do know when I was doing my yoga, I was doing it almost 4 hours a day. So it was a little much because
wow,
Virgo and me, you know. But it was so really, I was so frustrating because I was trying to get my body. I was actually coming out of a car accident and trying to get my body into these positions, but it was so beautiful when I was able to get them. And it was also so psychically and energy like channeling clear. It was amazing. And almost when I would go into meditating, when you were just talking about how when you passed, you felt that love, I could feel that surrounding me. And I don't know if that's because the empath part, I could almost tap into that and I could feel that. Mm-hmm. And it was so beautiful. And I'm almost saying, slapping my hand going, shame on me that I haven't been doing that. And I almost need to touch back into that. So thank you for that.
You can't do everything at once. Sounds like you've got a lot going on. I admire you for all of the things you do. But I wanted to say to you, Lauren, that perhaps one of the reasons you'll be in nursing is so that you can help people to transition.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like that would be a calling because I've noticed with the when having like 15 or 20 people and having them doing the call bells, I actually said that today to someone. I said, I don't like this part. I said, because each person needs individual care and almost an attention and a joy. And even if it's just sitting and holding their hand for a moment or, you know, and I did that. I love that during the feeding part of it. But so I know home health or even the hospice side, you know, like a 1-6 ratio, 1-5 ratio, I would very much enjoy because it's almost that one-on-one care. And even having that little moment with that patient, it was beautiful. It was like, it's okay to go. And I felt like, oh, makes sense why I'm doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't, after my experience, Lauren, I don't have any fear of passing to spirit. And I feel like every moment here is to be savored, is to be enjoyed. But I don't fear passing. I would like to have a simple, peaceful passing rather than some kind of shock or trauma. But I'm not sure we get to choose that.
And I think you're right on. I mean, a lot of people do fear it, and I don't. I'm not calling it on, so just to make sure that's announced. but I feel I feel like a lot of people are afraid of the pain and the indignity, you know, the body shutting down, and they're afraid of almost everything that happens physically when their body starts to shut down. I mean, even in home care and doing these, you see how the body at 90s and it's coming down and it's degenerating. But there's almost kind of a beauty in that too. Mm-hmm. As you can look at in birth, there is death. And you're kind of, I told the one gentleman today, he was having issues and he had bowel movements on himself. And he's like, I'm so embarrassed. And I said, why? I said, you know what? I said, it's part of your body and it's natural. And, you know, if something happens, it's okay. There's no shame in anything. And I said, when you were young, you had the same accident. You had the same things happen. You're older now. So if you look at it as you came out of the womb and you were there and you had these experiences and you grew, well, you've now grown. You're kind of going back to spirit. So it's kind of a transition back.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I looked at it.
So, that's a good way of putting it. The fact is that the physical body is a tool. It's a wonderful tool that we should look after and respect and use well, manage well. But it's a tool that's required here on the earth plane. You know, if you jump in the ocean to go deep sea diving, you don't have the tank, you have a problem because you're stepping into a different environment. You have to be equipped for that environment. So when we incarnate here onto the earth plane, we require a physical body to function here, but it stays here. It belongs to the earth plane. And when we move on, when we take that next step in the journey, we don't need to take it with us, and we can't take it with us because on the astral plane, the spirit plane, there is not anything physical. So all of the things that we have, the iPads, the iPods, the cars, the this, the that, it all becomes meaningless at the end of life. It goes back in the Monopoly box, and we just take with us the growth, the awareness, the spiritual development, the character, and I find it actually very humbling and very beautiful. Well, we're actually, girls, we're at the end of the show. I want to say a quick word for Stephen, our host. Stephen Lewis is not very well. He's got a migraine. So, Stephen, we've missed you, and we look forward to having you back with us next week. We hope that you're feeling well, and we send you lots of healing. I want to thank all of our listeners for listening to the show, being with us, and also to our callers. You can call in again for readings next week. We're here every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and we'll have another show lined up for you next week. I want to thank Doug for all the hard work behind the scenes, and my co-hosts, Professor Nona Marie and Lauren. Go ahead and say your goodbyes, and we will end this wonderful show.
Goodbye. Thank you, goodbye. Everyone. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Steve. Bye. Thank you, Nona.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.